This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
So who will follow Guy, Dami, Isaiah and Jessica? All the 10 artists have now been announced for Eurovision Australia Decides, the show to select the Australian entry for the Eurovision Song Contest 2019. And we are pleased to welcome live in the studio one of the contestants and, of course, Joy's favourite, Alfie Akuri. How are you going today?
Hey, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, quite an early. It's a bit early for you?
Oh, I'm not really a morning person, but that's okay.
Well, you scrub up all right.
Really?
You scrub up really well.
I was actually staying at my partner's family home in the Yarra Valley, so I had to get up at like really early to get in.
Or is that you catching one of those balloons in here this morning, was it? Because they usually come
out
of Yarra.
I saw one of them. No, he drove me. He was a good husband.
Not a husband.
Oh, well, maybe we'll have some exclusive news there. Are you engaged yet?
No, we're not, sorry. Yeah, that was just a hint for him if he's listening.
He'd like a ring on it and not what he's thinking.
Maybe you can talk to the producers of Australia Decides and you can get engaged. No, keep it for when you're at Eurovision.
Yeah, actually, that could be good.
Don't waste on the Gold Coast. Go to Israel.
Yeah, we'll wait for that.
Look, Alfie, before we jump into the whole Eurovision thing, let's reminisce about your 2016 The Australian Voice win.
Yes.
You were working as an architect.
Yep.
But what I've found out, you also at the same time had a secret YouTube channel where you were singing lots of covers.
I did. That's so embarrassing now looking back at that, because it was actually private for a long time, that little channel. And I think they're still hidden, some of the videos in there, but hardly anyone ever saw them because I thought they were terrible.
You're working as an architect, and then you're doing that. So what then made you go and audition for that season?
I think I just got to a point in my life where I was in an office every day. Like, I loved being an architect, don't get me wrong, but I was just like, this is not enough for me. And I just sort of got the taste of music a little bit at the time, and I just sort of, you swear on this and that. I was like, oh, I'm just going to do it. I just applied. I sent a video on Instagram, and then before I knew it, the producers were contacting me. And there's like 5 rounds of auditions before the actual chair. So
before we even get to see you.
So I did all of them. And then when I got to the chair part, I was like, shit, I better tell my work. Because if I get through, that means you're away for months. And then I was, and then I ended up winning. Like, it was just crazy.
What's the coolest thing you've designed? Is there anything that would be like, that's an Alfie Akuri?
The coolest
toilet
thing.
Block.
No, I used to design a lot of really rich people's houses in Sydney. So a lot of, like, in probably like your tool rack equivalent.
Oh,
So like your double bay, and a couple of them are actually finishing like now and within the last year. So it's been cool. Like, I've had the clients contact me, you know, come have a look, your house is nearly finished. It's
So an architect is a real job.
Yeah.
I always thought it was just one of those fake things you told people at a bar to look impressive. Oh, hello, I'm an architect.
They didn't just make it up for Greg Brady on the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Andy and I were lucky enough to go and catch you supporting for Samantha Jade.
That's right.
And you were up on stage, and I'm going to say you lit that stage up.
Did I really?
You really did. It was
great.
Thank you. So it's kind of funny to think that you were so nervous about coming out and showing people your voice, your talent, when that talent was always there hiding.
Yeah, but you know what? I really don't think it was, because I swear to God, when I was in high school, I couldn't sing. Like, I don't think I had a good voice then. Unless I did, and I just wasn't, you know, like, it just sort of just hit me. When I came out, that's when my voice did. So, but now I've got all this confidence, like with Samantha's shows, it's just fine. But then sometimes it's the opposite. I do have moments where it hits me. I'm like, oh shit, can I do this? Like,
so good little Catholic boy, you weren't singing up in the choir?
No, I was always...
I was a good Catholic boy, and I joined the choir, and I was told I had to mime.
Really?
Because it was about inclusiveness, and no one was allowed to be told you were allowed to done. But the brother, I was the only one in the choir, and I had to mime.
Were you at least at the front? Were you pretty enough to be at the front?
No, I was the shortest kid in class. I was at the front. That is correct. But I had to mime. But when we actually sung the song for some assembly down at some St. Mary's Cathedral, somewhere like that, well, I sung really, really loud. My mother, at the end of it, she said, why were you screaming? And the whole time the brother's going, you trying to tell me.
Well, Elfie, you're a great supporter of Joy, and we know that your music is on high rotation here. Being Australia's only LGBTIQA plus radio station, your music holds a special place to our community. Your songs are written about your experience as a member of the community. They reflect on what our community is facing, and just think that your great song, Love is Love, which was written and became an anthem for the Yes vote during the marriage law postal survey that happened. I think we can all remember it. LGBTIQA plus themes feature a lot in your music. Is that deliberate, or is that just you living your life?
I think I will always have those themes because I'm gay, you know, like, and I got to write from somewhere. And this song, particularly the one for Eurovision, I didn't initially write it for myself because I submitted the song for the competition, but I wrote it from experience, you know, like, and I still remember clearly the time that this recounts from. It was from when I was a teenager, and I don't know, I don't know if anyone else had these experiences where you just feel like the end is the only option, you know, like, mm-hmm. you're like, I remember, I think I was in like year eight or something, and I just came home that day and I just felt the lowest I've ever felt in my life because I thought nothing's ever going to change, you know, I'm going to be gay forever. You know, I went to a Catholic school, and then the song kind of climaxes to the point in my life where I actually stood on the edge of my fears and thought, you know, actually being gay is amazing. It makes me who I am. You don't know that from listening to the song because it's kind of, like I said, I wrote it for Eurovision so anyone could sing it, but that's my, I think I'll always write from that place because...
Does that, the importance of pronouns and gendered, like the fact that you're not going to be like Ricky Martin in the 90s singing about how sexy a young lady is and just do you think you would ever do that? Or
no
just
way. Always,
yeah.
I remember The Voice when I finished and they gave me my winner song, Cruel. I remember sitting down listening to it and it was about a girl taking a girl's dress off. And I said to the record label, I'm gay. Like, this is strange. Like, I'm out now. I just came out not long ago and I'm proud of who I am. And now I've got a song about a girl. And so now I'm very determined never to.
Which was a shame because, I mean, that song didn't do the best for you because it didn't match. I mean, you sing ballads and you sing them fantastic. That song just didn't. Yeah. Didn't mesh with you very well.
If something's not authentic to me, I can't fake it. So I've never watched back that performance ever because it makes me cringe because I actually hate that song. Yeah.
Well, there's another performance that we're getting very excited about. You're going to perform this song. We're not going to get you to perform it live because you don't have any backing.
I'm a bit sick.
No, it's all good. So if you want to know what his song sounds like, it sounds a little bit like this because this is the song. It is. Do you want to introduce it?
I'd love to. This is my Eurovision song to myself.
You're listening to Australia's only LGBTI radio station, Joy. It's Tom and Warren with Dylan Joel.
Could I do this to myself for so long? Could I do this to myself? It was wrong. I can't blame nobody else. Why did I do this to myself? Memories and scars of a childhood mind. We are just standing in the shadows with no sense of time. Am I just lost? Can't find my way home. I'm just gonna stand on the edge and feel what it's like to fall. Cause I'm tired of being afraid, but I'm not ready to let go. How could I do this to myself for so long?
Why did I do this to myself? It was wrong. I can't blame nobody else. Why did I do this to myself?
Look, I want to go through and say, look, thank you. That's a brand new song. It's only just come out. It's the first time we've played it on Joy. Yeah. So we've just added that to our rotation. It's fantastic. Good song.
Thanks so much.
Well, I want to go through and we're going to talk about Eurovision.
Yep.
From what I hear, there was over 700 songs were submitted into the Eurovision Australian campaign. 10 artists have now been selected. And of course, you're one of them.
Yeah.
It'll be broadcast on the SBS and it's been called Australia's Decides. Alfie, how the hell did you get yourself in another singing competition?
Well, I initially went in as a songwriter. So my song was one of the 10 that was chosen out of the 700, right? And I initially said yes to a female singer singing my song.
Oh, can you say who?
I don't know if I can say who. She's not actually in the competition.
It was written for a person. Did you write for them?
It was kind of written for the competition. So I went with my producer. I said, let's write a song for Eurovision.
Yep.
And this was the song we wrote. So I submitted it. They loved it. But then they kind of, I think they got attached to my version. And then, like Tanya Doka, actually, because she submitted a song as well. And only 2 weeks ago, they offered her and myself a place because originally someone else was going to sing her song too. So that's how it happened for me. And I couldn't say no because, like, you know, I'm Italian, I'm gay, I love Eurovision. Like, it's...
Well, you're Eurovision peanut boy.
Well, hopefully. And I've, like, especially since Australia's been a part of it, I've really paid attention to it. And particularly when Dami was in it, I remember watching her in awe, thinking, you know, I'd love that to be me one day.
Well, we spoke to Dami earlier this morning.
Okay.
I couldn't get it. I told her, I go, they ripped us off. I mean, they ripped her off, but they ripped Australia off. But I couldn't get her to get angry at all.
Yeah, she's too sweet.
I wanted her to be a wildcard entrant for this as well.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
She's
but
too good.
I'm a bit confused. So when it gets there, who's going to decide from the 10?
Okay, so there's going to be a Friday show on the Gold Coast for the jury, so they have 50% of the vote. And then on Saturday, there's a live performance where Australia has 50% of the other vote.
So we'll be texting in, you know, to save you.
So like The Voice, yeah, people will be able to vote. But yeah, there's a jury panel as well.
So do you know the 10 that have been nominated?
Yeah.
Who are you most scared of?
Well, look, there's the big ones with, like, there's Courtney Act. She's got a massive following. Shepherd's got a massive following. But you know what? I think Electric Fields have a really cool song.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
I love their song. And who else is that?
Well, we still haven't heard Ella Hooper's song yet. I don't think Shepherd's announced their song yet. We've got Aiden.
I've got
a bad little ballad going on through there.
I've got
Kate Miller-Heike. I haven't heard her song, but I think hers would be really cool too.
I've got an idea.
She kills it.
Supergroup.
Yeah. Yes,
all 10 entrants. Just have a little mashup of every song.
But you know what? You're only allowed 5 people on the stage at Eurovision. Did you know that?
Just really?
So we'd have to have 2 supergroups. Then
can you have backup dancers get off the stage? And
maybe, yeah. Maybe if we do that.
Or maybe just, yeah, I don't know. Okay.
I like
Alfie,
idea,
you just released your new song, To Myself, which you'll sing on the Gold Coast next month. Beautiful ballad. You've done it so well. Can you tell us about the song?
Yes. Like I said before, I wrote it from a very honest, vulnerable kind of place. But I also wanted to write it so anyone could sing it. So it didn't have to be so personal to myself. And I kind of wanted to be fun, a little bit of a play on a typical ballad. It's kind of, I wanted to kind of meet the Greatest Showman vibes in the production, like with the big harmonies and BVs. And because I obviously wanted to work on the Eurovision stage because it's massive, it's colourful, it's vibrant. And I wanted to make sure my song kind of fit bat.
Yeah. Have you had any tips from the previous entrants from Australia? Do you have a favourite performance? Have you gone, have you asked Isaiah? Have you asked Dami?
I did walk past Jess Malboy yesterday, though. We must live near each other in Sydney. No, I haven't. I don't have their numbers. Do you have the number? The last
one. We can try and get.
We have plenty of them. Yeah. But look, it's not just Eurovision's coming up. You've been quite busy, I hear. You've been away writing some new music.
I have. Well, like I said, this song was not written for me initially. We had a song ready to be released on February 8 as well, which is funny because that's the date of Eurovision. And I filmed the video, it was all literally lined up, ready to be released. And then this happened, which is good because that means as soon as this finishes, I've got my songs ready to go.
Yeah.
Ready to pop.
And that song was actually one of my favourite songs, so I'm excited to get that one out as well.
So when do we hope that you'll release that?
Well, if I win Eurovision, it'll probably be a lot later in the year.
Of course, because then it doesn't happen until May.
Yeah, that's right,
so you'll
yeah.
wait until
yeah.
after it comes.
If not, it'll be out probably in March or April.
So what can we expect from the new album? What's been your influences?
I guess I do have my influences, there's the Sam Smiths, there's Adele's, but the sound is kind of different. It's kind of, I call it like clever pop because the lyrics are kind of autobiographical, but it's still current sounding as well. So I think it's hard to describe, yeah.
Well, Alfie, fun pop. Yeah. We both wish you all the best. We're going to give you our lucky charms when you compete to represent Australia at Eurovision in 2019, which will take place in Tel Aviv, Israel, this May. Thank you so much for joining us on Joy this morning. We're lucky to have you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's the first time we heard your track, which sounded
exciting.
Very beautiful.
Thank you.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.